Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Please notice verse 4, first clause. And the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Verse 13, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. And so I want to preach tonight on God blowing and men rowing. Men rowing and God blowing. Some discredit the story of Jonah, but to discredit this story and say it's not authentic or really happened is to discredit the words of Jesus when he said in Matthew 12 and 40, And as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. No, it's not a fairy tale. It is something that actually happened in this world in which we live in. God spoke to Jonah, gave him a call, gave him a mission, and told him to rise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before God. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me stop right here long enough to tell you that whenever you do not want to do the will of God, there is always a ship going to Tarshish. Anytime you want to get away from doing the will of God, you will find a ship sailing to Tarshish. Anytime you want to fail to do what God has called you to do, there will be a ship leaving for Tarshish. So the Bible said Jonah went down to the ship and he paid the fare thereof. And like so many that go against God, he found that the fare that he paid was for his ticket was just a small down payment on what he was going to have to pay for his disobedience to the Lord. Listen to me. Amen. After they've been out there a little while, the Bible tells us the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. The storm was great. The wind was great. The ship was about to be broken in two. And the mariners or the mariners no doubt were men of repute. They knew how to sail. They knew how to charter the course. They were men of ability. But something had happened here. This was a different kind of storm. This was a different kind of wind. This was something different they'd never ran into before. And so they cried out, every man to his God. And they began to cast forth wares to lighten the ship. And they thought the problem was the atmosphere, the wind, the tempestuous sea. They thought the elements of nature was against them. Listen, but Jonah had gone down into the ship and lay fast asleep. Isn't it strange how some people in our modern day, when the storm is on in the church, when we need them the most to stand up for the right and the truth and stay with the church, it seems they're asleep. But you see, the old captain said, all hands on deck, and they began to come up. And they thought, sure, if we cast over the wares of the ship, everything will be all right. But the storm kept raging. You see, the problem was not the wind nor the waves. They were only outward visible evidence. But the problem was inside the boat. The problem was inside the ship. There was disobedience and rebellion against God. Amen. Inside the ship. And now God was blowing. Sometimes we wonder about the slow progress of the church. We wonder why our altars are barren. We see one fire up in the church after another, and the churches seem to me like are making very little progress in this old wicked world and reaching the world. And we say, I've never seen a day like it. It's the times we're living in and so forth. Well, brothers and sisters, I still believe that the church is the mighty force of God. I believe it is founded upon the solid rock. Our problem is we have let some things come on board that should not be on board, and God is blowing against us. Hang in here with me. We're going to preach for a while. Oh, there was a stowaway. They cast out the wares and tried to balance the boat. And sometimes we do the same thing. We throw things overboard we should have kept. And we keep things we should have turned loose of. Oh, we throw the old-fashioned prayer meeting overboard. We've thrown the standards of holiness and purity overboard. Amen. We have thrown the things that the church has been kept by all these years. Amen. And the ordinances and standards we've kept, we say we don't need them any longer. If we just get rid of that holiness standards and this old fashioned shouting and holiness worship, we would be all right, but the storm is still on. And we have pointed our fingers at other things and say it's the wind of adversity. We say it's the charismatics, them old charismatics, them old Jezebels down there on the corner. It's what's our problem. Hear me. If we're having trouble getting this church to moving or your church to moving, it's not the charismatics' fault. The problem is in our boat. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I was in a church not long ago, and an old fella got up and said, that old Jimmy Swaggart said he just about it ruined it for every one of us. Let me tell you something. If Brother Don Rich is not reaching souls, if I'm not getting anointed, if I'm not progressing, I can't blame it on Jimmy Swaggart. I cannot blame it on the Assemblies of God or Church of God. I must tell you, amen, there is a problem in the boat. Hear me, that's where the problem's at. It's in the boat. We should be reaching out to a lost and dying world. We should be seeing sinners at our altars. We should see men and women wanting to live a holy life. And since we're not reaching that place, amen, we say, well, it's over there. Let me tell you something. If you have trouble in your choir, no rock and roll singers causing that. Reach on, preacher man. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, preacher, if you cannot get anointed, don't blame it on some old worldly preacher down there on the corner. Listen to me. Amen. I'm not so interested in the charismatics or the compromising church. I want to know why our ship is not moving and making progress. We say we've got the highest standard of any people. We claim to be the most holy, sanctified people. And yet our sons and daughters and our children that are raised in the church and our neighbors and those all around us is sliding off into hell every day. There's something wrong inside the church. Woo, hallelujah. Listen. Somebody said they saw the devil crying down underneath a tree, crying. Oh. Somebody said, why are you crying, devil? Said, those holiness people's blaming stuff on me I didn't do. They're blaming me because their church is not growing. They're blaming me because their church is not spiritual. And they're the ones that quit fasting and praying. It's not my fault. Hey, we blame things on the devil. The devil didn't have nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna help me preach a little while? Hey, if I'm not doing something for God, if my ministry's not reaching out, if we're not seeing people walk the aisles like we've seen this week to be saved, then there's no atheist causing that problem. That's Brother Don Rich's problem and the church where I'm at. But we've had some walking aisles. Man, didn't we have a wonderful service last night? A lot of you had left. Boy, I don't want to embarrass nobody here. But it's all right, isn't it, to say, amen, I love these people so much that they won't get upset at me. We had a couple praying in this meeting who was living in a lifestyle that was not biblical. You know what they did after they got saved in this revival this week? Last night they stood before this sacred desk with a marriage license and let Brother Collins perform a wedding ceremony last night. Hey, I say the gospel has not lost its power. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That devil's probably crying tonight. saying they're blaming me. They're blaming me for stuff I didn't do. Woo! I'm going to tell you, folks, if we're not progressing as holiness people, there's something wrong. Now, don't worry. I'm going to be coming your way here in just a little bit. I'll be coming right your way here in just a little while. But listen to me. Amen. They finally decided that there is something on board that's causing the problem. It's not this tempestuous sea that's causing us our problem. It's not this wind. It's not the tempest. There's a problem. Let's cast lots and see whose fault this is. And they got everybody on board and cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So the first question they ask him, what is thy occupation? Hey, preacher, what is your occupation? Is it to fish and run hunting dogs? Amen. And watch the sports? Amen. And get all involved in business and real estate and all these things? Is it to pile up all of life's toys? Amen. Boats and three-wheelers and four-wheelers and 30-06s and rods and reels of every description? Hey, brethren, we have been called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get tangled up in the affairs of this life, or it'll keep you from doing the will of Almighty God. Well, I might ought to run that back again. I felt it boomerang. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why some churches are not growing? We as ministers have forgotten our occupation. Our occupation is to carry the gospel. Sure, when God called me, I had my own business. I had Sister Rich dressed up nice. I sure did. Amen. I had her living in a nice home and a nice car. And God called me to preach. And someone told me a year or two later, said, you ought to go back, amen, to that business. You was doing good, making money over there. I was making that money before God called me to preach. After he called me to preach, I figured if he wanted me to keep on doing that, he wouldn't have called me into his work. I've had to work some of my hands. Don't no one get me wrong. One of the greatest New Testament men in the Bible worked some with his hands. But that must come secondary. Amen. The first thing that must come first in your life is the ministry of the Word. And the thing that must come first in the church, even though I believe in holiness standards, amen, I believe we ought to preach them and teach them. One man came to me and he said, Brother Rich, I believe just like you do. I just don't preach and mention all those things, but I believe in it just like you do. I said, oh no, you don't. Part of my belief, if you believe in holiness, part of my belief is that you preach what you believe. I believe in that. But the number one priority on the list in the holiness church is to see lost humanity find Jesus in a reality and come out of sin and serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We must keep the main thing, the main thing, and the main thing is to reach the lost for Jesus. Woo! The next question they ask him, which comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? He had lost his identity. In his rebellion against God, he is blending in with someone else. Don't ever lose your identity. Hey, Christian, young person, older person, keep as much distance between you and the world as you can. Someone said, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm still holding the world at arm's length. And that won't work, and I'm going to show you why. When I started out serving God about 40 years ago, we kept the world at arm's length. But since that time, the world has kept on regressing into darkness. And we have been made to think as long as we keep the world at arm length, we're okay. And so we keep moving toward darkness too. Amen. And just as long as we keep the world at arm length, we think we're all right. But we must remember the landmarks that God has laid out in His Word and stay with the old landmarks. Why don't you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to me. Oh, yes. I'm going to get over on Jonah's side here in a little while. But listen, Jonah, the lot fell on Jonah. And they asked him this question. They said, tell us what we shall do to thee that the sea may be calm for us. Because the sea roaring was tempestuous. And he said, if you'll take me and cast me into the sea will be calm. There'd been some folks I've pastored, they'd have rowed her clear to the bottom before they would have admitted that the problem was them. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I guess you are. My text is getting ready to zero in on my theme tonight. Amen. He said, take me and throw me in. If you'll cast me into the sea, this thing will calm down. But the Bible said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the ship to land, but they could not. God was a blowing, and men was a rowing. But I promise you that God can blow harder than you can row. Are you hearing me? Oh, whenever you're out of the will of God, amen, you can row and row and row and row, but your ship's not going to move because God is blowing. Last year you was rowing in the same place you're rowing this year. And next year, if you haven't capsized, you're going to still be rowing in the same place. You've got to realize something is wrong. Something needs to be thrown overboard. Hear me? I go to churches this year, and I was there last year. They were rowing last year. And this year they're still rowing in the same place, and they haven't budged an inch. God's a blowing. Oh, yes. And you as an individual, you're wondering why you can't get ahead in life. Some of you work one or two jobs, work overtime, and everything seems to just keep going down the drain. I'm going to tell you why. God's blowing. Yeah, you're rowing, but God can blow harder than you can row. Uh-huh. Oh, you say, well, I'll just take on a little bit of the world and I'll prosper. I want you to know tonight that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And when you take on a little bit of the world, you get God blowing against you. And when God's blowing against you, I don't care how many may be trying to help you row. I don't care how many you gather on your side. I don't care how many sympathizers you can find. When God starts blowing against you, you're not going to move until there are some changes. Like the woman with the issue of blood. We have tried many physicians, and we found them all to be physicians of no value. For the last 35 years, this world has tried the electronic preachers and the electronic church and the ship of Zion hasn't moved because of them. God's blowing. I was at a place some time ago where you could go to a drive-in theater. If you didn't want to go to church, you could go to a drive-in theater. Drive in, plug in your speaker, watch the preacher on the screen. I didn't go, but just read about it out on the marquee. Amen. Guarantee you the service would just last 45 minutes. Then you could be on your way to the golf course or fishing or your picnic. Hey, God's blowing. Men are rowing. They're rowing against the society of this. The society of this day is rowing, thinking they're going to conquer the problems of man. And man's problems keep getting greater and greater and greater. You know why? God is blowing. So, this man, he said, here's the remedy. Take me. Throw me overboard. Oh, and the sea will be calm. Now right here I must caution you. You don't want to throw the wrong man or the wrong thing overboard. Some folks think, if I could just get rid, I don't know whether anybody here thinking that or not, but some, well, if we could just get rid of this guy right here and throw him overboard. I admit he does some strange things. But, hey, you think I don't know what I'm talking about. Yesterday we were sitting over on Interstate 275, car out of gas. All right? He didn't realize that that car had two tanks on it. So he punched another button, and that one was sitting right on empty. But it had enough gas in it to get us to a service station. Now here's what's strange. We pulled in this service station. I was following him because he was going to leave that car somewhere else. I pulled in behind him at the pumps. I thought he's definitely going to get gas. When my light's on low fuel, when that gauge is sitting over there, brother, I'm going to get gas. He said, Brother Rich, wasn't a penny or two cheaper down here at BP? And he pulled out with that thing on empty and went back down to another station. Oh, that's strange. So some said, got down and is a penny higher. Woo! Listen to me, wonder we hadn't went back up to the other one. But anyhow, amen, some folks probably think if we could just throw him overboard, well, let me tell you something, or if we could just get rid of sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so, if we could just get them out of the church, there'd be a calm. Let me tell you something, brother, if you throw somebody off and overboard and the sea keeps raging, you've thrown the wrong person over. Am I right? Woo! If we could just get a different kind of evangelist in here besides old Brother Rich. If we could just get, I'm coming back if the Lord lets me live. Amen. But we could just get, amen, a different kind of preacher in here that wouldn't make us feel uncomfortable when he preaches against our jewelry and our clipping and snipping of the ladies' hair. If we could just get a different kind of preacher, the church would go forward. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Amen. Man, throw me out. But if there's not a calm, you've thrown the wrong man overboard. If the church don't move, amen, you've thrown the wrong man. When I see sinners coming to this altar, like I've seen this week, I think we're doing the right thing. Woo! What do you think? Hallelujah. What do you folks think here? Amen. There's a guy who got married last night. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're doing the right thing. I'm telling you, we're doing the right thing. Oh, if we could just get rid of old sister so-and-so. You know how she is. Amen. She don't want to join in our gossip parties. If we could just get her out of the church. Hey, you better be careful. Once you throw something overboard that should not have been thrown overboard, it's hard to ever retrieve it. Oh, yes. Hear what I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. There is only one hope for the church. We must press through the obstacles and touch the hem of Jesus' garment and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, and submit ourselves to his will and put our bodies on the altar as a living sacrifice, and the church will start moving. Woo! So they threw Jonah overboard. And when they did, there was a calm. And the old boat started moving. Am I right? Oh, hallelujah. Listen, There is no wisdom, the Bible says, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. You're never going to outwit God. You're not going to beat God at his game. Some said, well, sin's all right, just as long as you don't get caught. Honey, I'm here to tell you the greatest detective in the world is sin. And be sure your sins will find you out. Nobody can hide sin. Brother Collins, I was pastoring Kansas City up there. I had two boys that would shout at the drop of the hat, about 17 years old, and they'd drop the hat themselves, if you know what I'm talking about. Boy, they'd shout and run. One day I was about 60 or 70 miles from there to visit a sick person. I decided to pull in this little hamburger joint and go in to get me a hamburger. And here my two shouters was sitting back there puffing away. When I walked in, they almost ate them cigarettes. Oh, Brother Rich, what are you doing here? I said, boys, I'm 21 and Mama lets me go out and ride around sometimes since I'm over 21. Now, what are you doing here? I said, oh, Brother Rich, we got money. Usually we don't have money, but we got money today. Let us buy you a hamburger. Let us buy you a Coke. Boy, they really got free-hearted. I said, no, I want to sit down here and talk to you. What are you guys doing puffing those cigarettes, shouting in my church last Sunday, and up here on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day it was, puffing them cigarettes? Heads dropped. One of them started crying. Tears always touch me. So we had a prayer meeting right in that restaurant. I'm going to tell you something, brother. They said, Brother Rich, you don't tell folks at the church. Said, we will never smoke again. I don't know whether they did or not. But I'm going to tell you, stop a lot of that shouting and running for a while. Hear what I'm telling you. If you knew, they thought they was going to beat. Amen. They're going to beat God at the game because they're so far away. You don't outwit God. You may slip around the corner, Mary, with Sam. But God's light is shining in the darkest corner. And Sam's wife may be waiting right around the corner for you. A lot of sins in the church. There used to be a day we point on the outside of the church about all the sin. But now the sin is inside the church. Say, I don't know why sinners don't want to come and get saved. Whenever you dress like they do, go to the same places they go, watch the same filth they watch, read the same books they read, amen, go to those ball games and bowling alleys and skating rinks and other places they go, amen, don't expect them to come to your altars. Hallelujah! Boy, I'm loving it. Praise God. I like wholeness preaching. Praise God. Listen to me. They threw Jonah overboard and there was a calm. And now Jonah, remember, amen, Jonah, whenever he decided to disobey God, every step that Jonah takes is a downward step. Remember, he went down to Joppa, found a ship going down to Tarshish. He went down into the ship and was fast asleep. They threw him down into the water. He went down in the fish's mouth, and the fish went down to the bottom of the sea. Down, 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 down. And every step we take out of the will of God in disobedience or rebellion, it is a downward step. And now he's in the belly of the whale. Seaweed is wrapped around him. He's got bars, rib cage all around him. Hey, he had one thing left. All he had left was a prayer. You got to notice this because I'm getting ready to turn it around. Amen. He had one thing left. All he had was a prayer. He was in direct disobedience of God. Amen. He realized that he had disobeyed the Lord. But he still had one thing left. It was a prayer. God had built him a prayer chamber too. And you may think that you're not going to pray, but let me tell you, before daylight, God can build you a prayer chamber where you're willing to pray and call on God. God had him there. But you got to notice this. Don't think I'm once saved, always saved, but I got to tell you what I see here. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Even though he had disobeyed, even though he had rebelled, he had not changed gods. He knew the only hope that he had in the midst of his rebellion was God, the God of heaven. Are you listening to me? Don't let the devil tell you if you've failed. Don't let the devil tell you if you've sinned that there's no hope for you. As long as you've got a prayer, there is hope. I said, as long as you've got a prayer, there is hope. And Jonah prayed to the Lord out of the fish's belly. What a place to pray. Strange prayer meeting in a strange place. He's praying to the Lord out of the fish's belly. And all of a sudden, God spoke to the fish. Mm-hmm. And the course changed. Had been down, down, down. But now, oh, I wonder what that whale thought. When he applied the digestive juices, he's planning on assimilating that fella, and that little preacher's going to become part of him. But something about those digestive juices and acid just wouldn't work on that little preacher when he got to calling on the Lord his God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? The world wants to take the church in today and assimilate us and let us become part of the world and be, what do they call us, ecumenical. Everybody be together. But let me tell you, if you'll hold on to your God, even though you fail, if you'll call on God, the world cannot digest you. And so the course changed. The whale's tail started wiggling. And he come up, up, up to the top of the water, up to the seashore, and vomited Jonah up on the bank. Oh, you tired of going down? How many's got a prayer left? Has the church got a prayer left? God's been blowing against us, but if we'll be willing to confess our faults and call on Him, don't ever change gods. Young people, I'm not preaching to you that you've got a license to sin, but I am telling you, if you sin and fail and come short, don't let the devil hold you hostage and say there's no hope for you. As long as you've got a prayer, there is hope. Jonah heard from the Lord the second time. This time he obeyed and went into the city of Nineveh and cried out against that city. And in closing, I want to tell you about my sister. I don't think nobody can get mad if I preach about my kin folks, will you? Now, if I preach about your kin folks, you might get upset. But if I preach about my kin folks, nobody can get upset. My sister, Carolyn, was raised in the same home I was raised in. By the same mother I was raised by. Went to the same church I went to. Later on, she got married. Started drifting away from God. Her husband died. And then she began being a rather intelligent woman. She got her a good paying job. Started climbing up the ladder of what the world calls success. I don't care how much success you have. If you leave your old standards and convictions, you are a failure. So my sister, she started, became a manager of one of the largest motels over on the West Coast there. Began to get good pay. Began to dress nice. Nothing wrong with that. Began to do good. And then started clipping, painting, eyeshadow, fingernail polish, earrings and finger rings. And I did not know. Now some of you other ladies might probably can help me, but I did not know they had a book that they issue that they put out for women that has the color of the day. Like, did you know that, Sheila? The color of the day. Like if you're going to wear blue shoes and a dress, and then it tells you what color to put on your eyelashes, eyelids, what color lipstick to wear, what kind of earrings to wear, what kind of finger rings to wear, what kind of necklace to wear. So it all blend together, and they call it the color of the day. And every day they have a different color. Can't you see who's behind that? The devil's behind it, yes, but also mercenary men that's interested in your money's behind that too. Because you see, if you're running with that crowd, if you don't stay up with the color of the day, you're going to be out of style. You may be in style today, but you're out of style tomorrow. So my sister was following this. And one day, I got a call, said my sister was not expected to live. 7 years younger than me. My brother, he also got a call, said, come, our sister's not going to live. Sister Rich and I forget where we was at, but we shut down our meeting, got on a plane and flew to Los Angeles, California, rented a car there and went on up to where my sister was lying, dying. My brother beat me there, and he was already there. Only three of us children left. And we were praying and seeking God for my sister. That's what you've been doing too, wouldn't you? Asking God to help her. Asking God to spare her. Asking God to help her call on Him. And she was burning up with such fever, and the doctors, three or four of them, met and said, we cannot determine the cause, but she's dying. My wife would try to keep her lips wet, burning up with fever, infection somewhere in her body. This doctor said, we must do exploratory surgery. The other doctor said, no, it'll kill her. And there was a controversy with the doctors. Finally, one of the doctors came into where we were at and said, is this lady's parents still living? My brother said, yes, they're still living, but they're old. And they live about an hour's drive from here. And he said, do you think they would like to see their daughter before she leaves here? Said, if you think they would, you better go get them, because she's not going to make it. They went and got, my brother went and got my mother and dad. My dad was on a walker, and they came in, saw their daughter dying there. Of course, it touched their hearts as well as mine and all the whole family. We were praying. We were trying to touch God. Finally, my sister realized that death had came all around her. And she said, I want everybody out of the room. Nobody in the room. She knew she was dying. She didn't want no one to see her die. Now she laid there on that deathbed. Here is her testimony from her own lips. She said, Lord, today it don't matter what the color of the day is. Yeah, when you get ready to cross over, it'll not matter. She said, it doesn't matter today what the color of the day is. But Lord, if you'll have mercy on me and save my soul, I'd really appreciate it. And God in His divine mercy, all she had left was a prayer. But God reached down, not only saved her soul, but healed her body, raised her up, astonished the doctors and the medical science there in that hospital. It happened because she had a prayer left. It was not that she was holy. It was not that she was in obedience to the Lord. You've got to understand that. But she had not changed her God. She still knew if she got any help, it'd have to come from the God of her father and her mother. It'd have to come from the God of heaven. God brought her out. My sister goes to church. Got long hair now. She told me, said, Don, you're right. You always told me if I keep the scissors out of it, it'd grow. It will. Earrings are gone. Television's moved out of the house. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about salvation. I'm not talking about playing games. You say, well, I got mine so I can see who's winning, Cincinnati Reds or Chicago.